everyone. My name is Nada Ahmed, and I'm your host for the Braving Innovation Podcast. I help businesses innovate and bring new products and services to market. I believe every company and team can achieve immense success in creating sustainable and profitable business models. All you need is an agile leadership mindset to build powerful, high-performing teams. Get access to proven tools and strategies for impactful growth and the ability to get the right mentors and investors on board. In this podcast, I want to help you with all of that. So I will be bringing you inspiring stories, tips, and strategies from leaders all around the world so that you can excel on your journey as an entrepreneur, innovation leader, and investor. Welcome to Braving Innovation. Hello, everyone. And here I am live again after what seems like a really long time. So I felt like today it was about time to come online again and to give you a quick update on where I am and what are my plans going forward. But most importantly, something that I haven't addressed yet is looking at the current market and what does it mean for us as investors or as founders and just people participating in this global economy. Today is a solo episode. I don't have a guest that I'm bringing on with me. So yeah, you know, I have been on my journey now for 6 months as an entrepreneur, left corporate, and I thought now would also be a good time to reflect on that journey, give you some updates on where I am, and talk about my future plans. So I have been doing these lives here on LinkedIn for more than a year, and this year I've been focusing them around my podcast, which is called Braving Innovation, and I plan on taking that forward. After the summer, I'm going to take a break. So I also wanted to let you know, I'll be taking a break for the next month. I will be coming up doing lives, but I'll be taking a break from a podcast and getting guests on to my show. And post summer, after the summer, I'm thinking about is how do I pivot this to become more relevant to my community and to all of you who follow me. I plan on pivoting it to focus it more around investors and founders to help more people get into the venture capital space and also to guide founders on their journey and what we can learn as investors from founders on what is important to them in making sure that as a founder, you succeed. So that will be really my pivot and focus. I have over 8,000 followers here on LinkedIn now. So I'm really, really happy for all of you who've reached out, who've commented, who, you know, when I haven't come out and done a live, have reminded me that it's been a while and that I should be doing them more consistently and more often. So that is going to continue to be my strategy because I believe the journey that I am now is a journey worth talking about for others who might be inspiring to make a career move, to leave your job, to start on your own journey as an entrepreneur. But today, two things that I wanted to talk about is, first of all, I wanted to address the current situation in the market and speak to what it means for us as investors. And secondly, I wanted to talk about my journey in more detail. So we will get to that. So first of all, you might have heard in the news what is going on. The stock market is falling. We are officially, since the beginning of this month, in what we call a bear market. So what does it mean when we say a bear market? What does that mean? All that it really means is that the S&P 500 or any other index that you follow closely has fallen more than 20%. So that's what it means. It means there's been a big substantial fall. And in this case, we were looking at the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell by 20%. And this happened after being sustained at a very high level for a very long period of time. The economy has been doing really well for the past 7-8 years, and particularly the past 2 years. A surprise to many people, even though when the pandemic started, we saw a dip, but then the market picked up again, and the demand did not decrease as much as we had thought it would, and the stock prices kept on going up and up and up. And so earlier this year, but when the fall happened, the S&P 500 was the highest that it's ever been, right? So it was about 4,800 points. And now after this 20% drop, it's been around 3,900. So that's definitely a big steep drop. But at the same time, in the past 2 years, we've just seen just incredible growth, which could have also been a sign for many of us that this is not sustainable, that this could be somewhat of a bubble. And all of that, you know, given the situation that we've been post-pandemic with the war in Ukraine, with the congestion continuing within the logistics systems, the inflation has gone up, right? So a bear market is often accompanied by a recession, right? And that's why we don't like a bear market, because what that means is that often, not always, a bear market is a sign of a pending recession. Now, all the signs, the way people are reading it, people are very careful to say a recession is coming, but all the signs point towards that something is happening in our economy, things are changing, and they're pointing towards a recession. So if you're just looking at the bear market, often accompanied by a recession, right? And last time, does anyone remember last time that we were in a recession? So for people who follow me here, depending on your age group, you know, I entered the market in a recession. It was 2008, 2009, right? We call it the global financial crisis of 2008 was the last time we were in the Great Recession, as we call it. I remember that time very vividly myself, because I was actually doing my internship in Paris and I was commuting to work every morning. And in Paris at that time, we had these free newspapers called the Metro that they would give you as you were commuting. You know, now I had an hour commute because my job was outside of Paris and I was living in Paris. And I was going on this hour-long commute and there were these Metro newspapers and all these other free newspapers for the people who travel the Metro who were taking the subway. And there were these big headlines and you knew something was going on. And I was a fresh graduate, really trying to understand the market. What does this mean? And you would see these big headlines saying, you know, Lehman Brothers have fallen, Bear Stearns. And I actually learned a lot about how the market works during that time by reading up a lot on what was going on. So when we're seeing this bear market today, how is this comparable to the 2008 recession, which was the last recession that we all went through? What happened in 2008 and what can it tell us about what's happening today? So what happened in 2008 is actually different from what's happening today. 2008 was really about an excess of borrowing. So people were just borrowing too much and credit was available too easily to people. And what banks were doing were often lending to people who had a low credit score. So their credit history wasn't very good, but we were lending to them anyways. And so what we saw was that as the house prices rose, people defaulted on their loans. And this decreased the value of mortgage-backed securities. So these mortgage-backed securities was a type of investment pool of individual mortgages together. As people defaulted on their loans, anyone who held a mortgage-backed securities, and it was these big banks that were holding on these mortgage-backed securities, they faced a liquidity crisis, which means that they were out of cash because people were not able to pay back their loans. So they were rapidly just out of cash. And these big names like Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Citibank, and many other small banks who had been betting on this very sketchy scheme of giving credit to people who really couldn't afford it, they caused this domino effect to happen and the banks fell one after the other. And that, of course, spilled over to the rest of the economy as the banks had a liquidity crisis. So what the government has done since 2008 all over the world is put regulation in place so that we don't create the same situation again. So in some way, today we're protected from that crisis happening again. But then over the past 2 years, we've gone through some very difficult situations in our economy that have really tested our market and our economy. The pandemic, the Ukraine war, all of that has led to inflation. And so what we're seeing today is not driven by the same mortgage crisis that we had in 2008, but it's really led by the inflation crisis in some way caused by over the past couple of years of stimuluses that we've put out to ease the market and make sure that we survive the pandemic, which has of course, given rise to inflation. We have had issues within our logistics networks, within shipping, and all across the world. In China, we've seen major delays in ports, also in LA, all around the world. A shipment has not been able to make it to where it's supposed to go. And so that has led to an increase in prices in our food, in all types of retail, and the things that we use that are important to us on our daily lives. Most of us have noticed how the prices have increased. It's been almost 10% inflation is what we're seeing today. And what that does is inflation is not good. It's not sustainable. It's not good because all the prices of everything that people want, they cannot afford anymore. The prices are increasing. And so the government wants to do something about it. And the mechanism that they have is increasing the interest rate. So making cash not so cheap anymore. If you want to lend, if you want to borrow money, there's a higher interest rate to that. So cash is no longer free because we've been at almost near zero interest rates for many years now. And for the first time, the Fed and the other governments all around the world are increasing their interest rates. And that's going to have an impact in the economy. And the whole point of the Fed increasing interest rates is to push that brake and to slow down the economy, because the economy has been moving too fast. And the way that you can curb this inflation is to slow down. So as over the past 2 years, we've seen this unprecedented increase in stocks, not sustainable. We have seen an excess of capital. And a lot of this capital has been venture capital, mostly gone into companies that were probably not viable. They did not have great revenues. They did not have great numbers. But because we had this dry powder, we had this capital available, we've invested in companies that were probably not, we should not have invested in. And so that is the situation that we are in now. But as I mentioned before, the increase in stock prices, the increase in crypto assets, which is the riskiest assets we have, has just shot up insane amounts, and it just wasn't sustainable. And when the market crashes, the stocks that go down the fastest are the ones that rose the fastest, that are the most riskiest. And those are tech stocks, and those are crypto stocks. And that's what we've seen. The NASDAQ has fallen up to 33%, and the crypto stocks have fallen like up to 70%. These companies have lost value of like 70%. Bitcoin is below $20,000 today. It's the lowest it's been in many years. So not saying that crypto is a complete bubble, that blockchain technology is not going to be viable in the future, but there's a lot of investment that's gone in there that probably shouldn't have gone in, right? And so these companies, especially companies that had no revenue to speak of, that we invested in just based on future forecast, and that future forecast now is very, very unpredictable. And we don't know if they're going to be able to make those numbers as the economy is slowing down. So yes, it is a time when all of us get scared, right? And especially as investors, we're scared. But it's also important to remember that there are two categories of investors. They're the younger investors who are investing for the long term. If you're a younger investor investing for the long term, which, I mean, as a younger investor, you should be investing for the long term, you have nothing to worry about. A bear market is a completely normal part of the cycle, right? We will have these downturns and then we will see the market go up again. This happens every 10 years approximately. And it takes about 5 years for the market on average, and sometimes less, sometimes more, to start picking up, to pick up again and get back to the same levels. And it will start picking up relatively quickly. But you as a young investor need to hold your horses and stay calm and know that you're in this for the long run. And also remember that a bear market is also a great time to invest. So if you have not invested before, it's a great time to come in the market. Even though the headlines are scary, you know, the market has fallen. And now you can, if you actually look at some of the companies that you really have faith in, know how to do some sort of due diligence, need to look at what are these companies that I'm going to start investing in, because the valuations are a lot more realistic now. So it's not all bad news for investors. And then there's a second category of investors, obviously investors who are older, who have this money that's for their retirement. And I can understand that these investors are stressing out, because this is a lot of money that they've invested in the market that is supposed to last them over the recession, right? And that's why we say the importance of having a diversified portfolio. So as long as you have a diversified portfolio, hopefully there will be some balance and you're not going to lose all your investment into retirement. But the point here is that, yes, if you are close to retirement and suddenly the market crashes and you've invested in the stock market or also invested in venture capital, and suddenly your companies are going bankrupt and are not going to be able to meet their targets and they have to make these major cuts, yes, it's a cause of concern. But you just have to keep your fingers crossed and be a bit more cautious with your investments at the moment. Yeah, so that was just my take on what's going on. As I'm advising most of my founders right now, it's be prudent. And actually now is a good time to be a little bit more paranoid. I am the first one to say, be optimistic, go for the stars, you know, take those risks. But right now is a time, if you can, cut your costs. Not saying that you have to curb your growth, but look at what are some of the excessive costs that you have. I know most startups will claim that they're lean and as lean as they can be, but we're seeing a lot of companies who are cutting down on their workforce, cutting down on sort of plans for R&D and creating and launching new products right now, because you really want to wait and see how this develops. And I posted today on LinkedIn a chart by Sequoia in which it said, you know, companies that have a higher chance of success right now are companies who are going to make a rapid cut right now, once and for all, instead of doing like short 10% decreases over the next couple of months. Those companies who are going to not have a sharp reaction to what's going on and quickly adapt, they're going to suffer in the long run. And Sequoia is calling it the debt spiral, that you cut your costs 10%, 10%, 10%, and then in the end, you're just towards your downward spiral. So a good place for you right now is to really team up, get your team together, look at your plans. What you want to do is figure out how can you increase your runway in the best possible way, right? Like if you have cash right now that's going to last you 6 months, how can you make sure that it lasts you 1 month? What plans can you delay? Because I really believe right now that companies who are really able to turn it down a notch and figure out how can they keep their growth going without spending so much cash, they're the ones who are going to be in a better position over the long run, because we are entering rough waters here and they might be for up to 2 years. So the company that's going to be strongest is really the survival of the fittest, is who's looking at these signs and adapting. So adapt, change your strategy, and see how you can outrun your competition by surviving the next 2 years. Instead of trying to beat everybody in the short run, how can you beat them in the long run? So that's my big advice to founders right now, really looking through your strategy and having that serious, serious conversation on what you need to do. I have given this advice to many founders. Often the feedback I've gotten is like, well, this doesn't apply to me. Every market is different. My market is different. I need to scale up. So, and everyone is saying that in some way. So I would just say, get some outside opinion, talk to a few people, and really try to distance yourself from, like, I know your love for your startup, but be realistic about what you can do that's really sustainable and beneficial for your startup right now. So that was my economics spiel, just to take on the market. As you know, my big pivot now, as I have left corporate, is to really build myself within the venture capital space, help founders, help startups, help scale-ups become the version of themselves that's really going to succeed. So help them grow, help meet their financial goals, help them get that structure and scale in a lean manner, in an agile manner. And so I have really thrown myself deep into the venture capital world, getting to know a lot of investors, getting to know firsthand how to do due diligence. So I'm doing up to like 10 companies that I'm doing due diligence on every week. And it's just been amazing practice. And there's so many resources available to us today. And I really want to talk about this journey as I really think as I'm getting into really the nitty-gritty of this is that, and as I'm getting to know the network and build my network, is that it's surprising how male-dominated and not diverse the space is. I thought the energy space that I've been in most of my career is not diverse, but it's even worse within the investment sectors and the financial sectors. Most of the decisions are made by men, unfortunately. And I want to show a path to other women so that they can also get into this space. And as I'm carving that path for myself, hopefully I can motivate, inspire, and bring other women along with me, because we need more women making decisions about the future of our economy, about the future of our planet, about the future of the world that we live in general. So how does it feel to be an entrepreneur now for 6 months? Everyone asks me that question, so I get to think about it every single day. You know, take a temperature check. It's definitely different. I appreciate the freedom. I love the freedom. And sometimes I wonder what kept me in corporate for so long, really, because I really feel like I was born to be an entrepreneur. I've always been an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur in a corporate environment, really trying to always look for ways to do things differently and expand our business in new ways and take the learnings from the startup world and bring it into corporate. And that's how I survived in corporate, basically, was trying to see how we could turn things over and do things differently. And my whole career has really been figuring out how to climb that ladder in corporate, how to be seen. And as I've mentored a lot of women and men and people of diversity background over the past couple of years, it's really been around how you can be seen in this corporate environment. And I think that's still relevant, as many of us will still continue to operate within corporate. And doesn't mean that I will never go back to corporate, though. But I still want to continue to be that voice for you, if you're in corporate, to figure out how you can find a path forward, because it's important that you, as someone who thinks differently, whose mind works differently, who looks different, has a voice in corporate. Because even though I stepped out, I hope that there could be more women who could stay and make a difference and be part of the table where important decisions are being made and change this toxic culture that we have created within corporate that really stifles innovation. So I want to continue to drive that change from the outside as a consultant, as I am working with corporates today in helping them with their innovation process and often seeing that I'm actually taken more seriously when I'm coming in as an outside consultant than being within the corporate, and really help my ex-colleagues in their journeys that they have of driving that change and receiving that resistance. Because the problem with a lot of corporations, they're really led still in from a very pre-industrial era leadership mindset. And that's why I talk a lot about agile leadership. The leadership that lets go of control, that lets go of power. But in corporate today, we still have many leaders who hold on to power. And until we change that dynamic in which leaders feel that they have to step in and make every single decision, because if someone else makes a decision for them, they have they're letting go of power, that somehow that's a threat to them. Unless they start thinking about enabling people to make decisions, things are not going to change, and corporates are going to slowly move forward, but a lot of them are going to die and not going to be able to last a lot longer, right? So you do need to encourage this new way of thinking and empower people, because we are past the industrial era. We're in this era of the digital transformation where humans need to be enabled to lead and be themselves in their best possible way. So I'm going to continue to do that work within the corporate ecosystem. That is going to continue to be my mission, as that's basically where a lot of my network is, and that's where a lot of my clients are from. And so I'm continuing to do that work, continuing to work with corporate, with their culture, and drive innovation. So if there is any way that I can help you, please do reach out. I've been coaching many people on this, on one-on-one. Send me a message. Let me know about the problems that you're having. Join me on these lives. Ask me any questions that you might have that I could help you with. And with that, I just want to say thank you for joining, for watching this live, for listening to this live, and also listening to the recording if you're listening to that later. I will be producing more lives this summer, doing daily lives starting from mid-July, taking the next 2 weeks off on vacation, going to Paris, going to be in France. So anyone in my network there, let me know. And after that, I'll be in Houston for about a month working from there. So if you're in Houston, do also reach out. I'd love to meet up in person, especially if you're within the startup ecosystem, if you are within the venture capital space, I would love to meet up with you. And then post-summer, once I'm sort of back to my normal routine around mid-August, September, I will be launching a new series of my podcast. And as I said, again, focusing that also more around venture capital. So thank you all for listening, for being here. Have a great day and have a great summer. If you're going on vacation somewhere, enjoy yourself. And if you're not, still enjoy yourself. Okay, bye. Thank you for listening to the Braving Innovation Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, do hit subscribe so you do not miss any of our future episodes. Don't forget to leave us a review and share this podcast with others who might find it valuable. Thank you.